This afternoon I was thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ as well. Look at verse, John chapter 1 and verse 26. John answered them saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. But that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending, and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw, and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he saith unto them, Come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Now keep your Bibles open, because there's maybe other 3 or 4 places that we're going to read from. You see, I was interested in saying something about the Lord Jesus Christ, and pointing him out to you as an example. But first of all, did you notice that twice over, we read this little expression, Behold the Lamb of God. The first time we read it, this is what it says, Behold the Lamb of God, which beareth away the sin of the world. You know, when our brother gave out that little hymn, 147. You know why I like that little hymn? Man of sorrows, what a name. You know why I like it? One of the reasons why I like it is because the last line in every verse, I'm able to say, Hallelujah, what a Savior. Pointing out to us the Savior that suffered, bled and died on Calvary's cross for guilty sinners like you and I. Well, John the Baptist, you know what he was doing one day? He was baptizing men and women in the Jordan. And all of a sudden, he stopped doing what he was doing, and he pointed, and he said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You know what he was doing? He was pointing out the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb that God had provided to take the place of guilty sinners on Calvary's cross. He pointed out the Lord Jesus Christ as a Lamb who was willing to shed his precious blood that's able to cleanse guilty sinners like you and I from all our sins and make us fit for the presence of God. Listen, my friend, tonight I'm on the way to heaven, and I've been on the way to heaven since 1956. And you know how that happened? Because one day I had my eyes pointed off to the Lord Jesus Christ, who on Calvary's cross was being wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and the punishment that we deserve was laid upon him, and with his stripes I was healed. Do you know what happened? I realized, I understood for the first time, as I had my gaze pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross, that he had died in my guilty room instead. Do you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that he, by the grace of God, tasted death for every man. Christ died for the ungodly. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's what the Bible says. And I was simple enough to take it in that on Calvary's cross, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Lamb of God, was bearing the wrath and judgment of God that I, the guilty sinner, deserve. And so I would say to you tonight, at the beginning of the meeting, Oh yes, you might hear it again at the end of the meeting. But the most important thing for you tonight, if you're still in your sins, is to behold the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior that you need. He's the Savior you need. You know what the Bible says? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. One who's able to save to the very end, to the uttermost, all that come unto God by him. He's ready, he's willing, and he's able to save you. And he's able to save you tonight. But would you like to be saved? Well, that's what makes the difference, you know. He's able to do it. He has already died on Calvary's cross. And one of the reasons why you're not saved is because if you know that you need to be saved, and you know that you should be saved, and you know that he can save you, well, the reason why you're not saved is because you're not wanting to be saved yet. Because the moment you want to be saved, he's ready and willing to save you. He's ready and willing to save you. He's willing to save you now. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You know, as I meditated this afternoon on this little portion of the Word of God, and along with another part, or this particular part, you know, I learned something new. I learned something new for myself. I never saw it before. It was there all the time, but I've never seen it before. You know something? The place where John was baptizing, it's mentioned 3 times in the Gospel of John. It's mentioned here, and it's mentioned in chapter 3, and it's mentioned in chapter 10. And you know, it's a place, and it always brings John the Baptist before us as a man who gave the Lord Jesus Christ the preeminent place. He pointed him out. He says, I'm not worthy to tie his shoelaces. In chapter 3, he says, he must increase, but I must decrease. You know what he's doing? He was taking his rightful place and giving the Lord Jesus Christ his rightful place. You know, as you read those 3 scriptures over, you know what you find? You find that that's a place where the Lord Jesus Christ delighted to go. He delighted to go to the place where John was baptizing. You know why? Because there was people and they were getting baptized. You know what they were doing? They were acknowledging the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were taking that humble place. You know when I got baptized? Well, you know, I was back in the place not very long ago. I wasn't back in the hall, but I was back talking to the man who spoke to me when I got saved. And of course we spoke a little bit about my baptism. Well, I like to speak about it. You know when I got baptized? You know what I was doing? I was telling everybody that was in the hall that now I'm going to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, before I lived for myself, but from now on, I'm going to live for him because I've died to all the other things, and I'm going to live for him. You know what I say? I was identifying myself with a man who died and was buried and rose again. I was saying, I'm taking my side, I'm taking my place with the Lord Jesus Christ. Baptism. Why? You know what I was doing? I was glorifying God. You know what I was doing? I was acknowledging the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what I was doing? I was rejoicing my own heart. You know what I was doing? I was being an encouragement to my fellow believers. Well, I didn't know all those things at that particular time. All I knew was that I was happy doing what I was doing. Because I knew that's what the Word of God wanted me to do. But you know something? That's a place that the Lord Jesus Christ delights to be at. He delights to be at the place where people are willing to take the rightful place and they humble themselves in the sight of God. That's what I found out. That's one of the things. Oh, I knew that one. But I found out this. There was a place that the Lord Jesus Christ delighted to go. And here's the other thing. I just put the two of them together. Why, there were 2 disciples, and as they followed the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what happened? He turned and he says to them, what seekest thou? They said, where dwellest thou? They wanted to know where he dwelt. Oh, there's a place that they wanted to go as well. They wanted to go over here. Oh, there's a place where the Lord Jesus Christ delighted to go. And that's where his followers were acknowledging his lordship. Ah, but there was a place where his disciples would like to go as well. And that's where the Lord Jesus Christ delighted. First of all, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Well, let's go down to verse 36. Verse 35. Again the next day, after John stood and 2 of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold the Lamb of God. Now this time, he doesn't say, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He leaves that part out. Why? Because he's speaking to 2 of his own followers. And he says, behold the Lamb of God as he walked. As he saw the walk of the Lord Jesus Christ, why, he pointed him out to his 2 disciples. And I believe myself, you know what the idea was? He was pointing out the Lord Jesus Christ as an example for his own followers to follow. He says, behold the Lamb of God as he saw him walk. Why, we were hearing this afternoon about how we can enjoy the blessing of God. You know, I like this passage, I like this part here. You know why? Because for a good number of years I struggled about the will of God. And I still struggle about it in a last sense as well. But I've got it down now into one little verse in the Word of God, and I'd like to bring it before you today, tonight. You know, there's lots of young people and older people as well, and they want to know, what's the will of God for me? Well, the will of God for you and the will of God for me is to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what it says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. He that said he abideth in him ought himself so to walk, even as he walked. That's God's will for you. And you know, if you walk as he walked, you know what will happen? You'll enjoy the wonderful blessing and communion of God. Do you know what else? You'll be a good example to your fellow believer. And if everybody in the assembly is walking as he walks, you know what you have? You'll have a happy assembly. You'll have a place where the Lordship of Christ is being acknowledged and upheld. And it'll be a place where the Lord will be pleased to make his presence fully felt. Even as he was pointed out as an example to John's disciples to follow his work. You know, here's something about the Gospel of John. It starts off with these men following the Lord Jesus Christ because he's pointed out as an example. You know how it finishes? It finishes with the Apostle Peter saying this. He says, well, what will this man do? The Lord Jesus Christ says to him in effect, listen, don't you worry about what this man's going to do, and don't you worry about what that man's going to be doing. You've got a big enough job, and your job is, follow me. You know I like that. Follow me. He says, that's going to be a big enough job for you. That's your job. That's my job. That's the will of God for any one of us, is to follow after him. To walk even as he walked. Well, how did he walk? You know how he walked? He walked for the glory of God. We were reminded this afternoon about that ribbon of blue, and every place that Israelite would go, and every step that he would take, he would be reminded of his heavenly origin. He would be reminded of his, the God that they served and who he was. You know, that's the same with you and I as well. Walk even as he walked. You know how he walked? He walked for the glory of God. He walked for the benefit and blessing of all that he came in contact with. How about you and I? He walked with the idea of helping a poor Samaritan woman. He went all the way to that well, Sychar's well. He went here, he went there, he went there. What for? All with the idea of glorifying God and bringing blessing to those that he came in contact with. Even as he walked. He walked for the blessing of everybody that he came in contact with. How about you? How about you? How about me? How do we walk? Do we walk even as he walked? That's what he said. That's what the Word of God says. He that said he abideth in him, or himself so to walk, even as he walked. And what happened? John says, behold the Lamb of God. And through his disciples, they began to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the Lord Jesus Christ went on, he realized why he's being followed, and he turned around, and he says to the two disciples, what seekest thou? You know, that's a good question as well. What are you seeking tonight? What are you seeking tonight? In Philippians chapter 2 it says, they all seek their own things, not the things of Jesus Christ. What are you seeking? Are you seeking for prominence? Are you seeking for an important position? Are you seeking to live a life that would be glorifying to God? Are you seeking to be a help in the assembly where you are? Are you seeking to be a benefit to unsaved people that you might come in contact with? What are you seeking? You know the Word of God says, seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. Seek them not. What seekest thou? What are you seeking tonight? What am I seeking tonight? Are you concerned about the glory of God? Are you concerned about the assembly of God? Are you concerned about the things of God? What are you seeking tonight? Or are you just interested in your own thing? What seekest thou? You know what they said? They said, where dwellest thou? You know, I thought about this afternoon. Where did he dwell? Do you know where he dwelt? Well, he dwelt in the communion with his Father in heaven. He dwelt in the conscious communion moment by moment in fellowship with his Father and with his God. He says, I do always those things that please him. The Word of God says, he pleased not himself. He never did anything that was out of the mind and will of God. He never went anywhere that was out of the mind and will of God. Where dwells he? He dwelt in the conscious communion with his God. That's where he dwelt. Do you know where else he dwelt? He dwelt before the eye of God. He dwelt before the eye of God as God looked upon him as he walked. And God was so delighted in him as he saw his son. And as he came across this obstacle and that and how he acted and how he reacted, that God opened the heavens and said, this is my beloved son in whom I find all my delight. Where did he dwell? He dwelt in the sight of his God. You know what God says to Abraham? Abraham says, walk thou before me. Do you know something? The Son of God, he walked before God. And every step that he took brought delight to God. Every step and every place that he went and everything that he did, he brought delight to God. Where did he dwell? Oh yes, there was another place he dwelt. And maybe you could think of a few as well. I thought of three. He dwelt in the conscious communion of his Father and his God. He dwelt before the eye of God. And he so pleased God that God opened the heavens and declared, this is my beloved Son in whom I find all my delight. How about there was another place he walked? You know what that was? He walked before men and women. He walked before the critics. And in John chapter 8, he could say to the critics, which of you convinceth me of sin? Oh, I wouldn't like to say that to you tonight. And I'm quite sure you wouldn't like to say that to me yet either. Although we don't know very much about one another, we all could point the finger quite easily at one another. But do you know something? The Lord Jesus Christ so walked before men that there wasn't one finger could be pointed at him. There was not any fault in his life at all. Nobody could point the finger at him. Three places that he lived. He lived in holy communion with his God. He lived before his God as well as he walked a man amongst men. Ah, but he lived before the eyes of his critics as well. Those who sought to find fault. Even when it came to his trial, he had to get false accusers. They tried to trip him up in his words. They tried to catch him in his deeds. There was no finger to be pointed at him. Oh, he says, come and see. Come and see. That's what he did. Do you know something? If you take the name of being a Christian, do you know that you should be dwelling in the conscious enjoyment of the communion of God? We should be. We should be day in and day out. You know, isn't that one of the things that encourages us when we come to a conference? Why? What is it? Why? We're talking about the things of God. And we enjoy talking about the things of God. And we're talking to the people of God. And we're interested in the things of God. And there we are for a few short hours as we gather together. Why? We're happy. We're enjoying the life that we're supposed to be enjoying. Why? Because we're concentrating. We're interested in the things of God. And yet, after the conference, we all go our different ways. We all fall back into the rut that we were in before. And yet, we're enjoying the thing. Why we're in the conscience? We recognize that God is with us. We recognize that the Holy Spirit has already helped our brethren as a minister of the Word of God. We're looking to the Holy Spirit tonight as the gospel is preached that maybe a soul will be reached and saved. And we're in the conscious knowledge that we're doing something that's well pleasing to God. And here we are, we're enjoying the things of God. And rightly so. Ah, but we should be enjoying it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday as well. Not just when we're gathered together and conference meeting. Well, here is he walked. Not only that, but we walk before our God as well. We walk before our God as well. How do we walk? Oh, all of us put together can't compare with him. But does he see something of his son in you? Does he see something of his son in me? Those circumstances that arise, I agree with our brethren. I believe that God brings circumstances day in and day out. He brings them across our pathway just to see how we're going to react. Are we going to react the way we used to react? Or are we going to react according to the mind and will of God? Are we going to act in a Christ-like manner? Or are we going to act the way we used to act before we were saved at all? And so these circumstances come up day in and day out. They come across our pathway just to see whether we're growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whether there's any more of the grace of God seen in your life or sins in mind. Well, here he is as he walked. Let's turn over to chapter 5. On chapter 5 and verse 17. Oh, by the way, we're walking before critics as well. Yes, we're walking before the eye of God, but we're walking before our critics. And sometimes the critics are unsaved people. But sometimes the critics are our fellow believers as well. Do you know, as your fellow believer looks upon you, do you earn their confidence? You know, I was in a place not very long ago, and there's three young men there. And you know something, they delight your heart. They really do. They're taking hold of the things of God, and it's very, very evident and obvious, as far as I could see anyway. It was obvious to me. And you know, it's nice to see our younger brothers and sisters take a hold of the things of God and put their back into the assembly. Do all that they possibly can to help. Why, it's nice to see them taking a hold. Why, you see, I bet then there's others, you see. Oh, they're in assembly fellowship all right. Ah, but they're not putting their backs in it. And they're not just as fast to help. And they're not maybe just at all the meetings as well. And maybe they find excuses not to be there at all. You know, when you walk, you look at, how does a brethren see when they see you? You see, you're walking before your critics as well. And I'm walking before my critics as well. What kind of an example am I giving to the others? Am I being a help by my example? Or am I being a hindrance by my example? Well, we've got a great, there's people watching us. And they're not all unsaved. Some of them are saved. Some of them are saved. Huh. You know, I like to tell the people, I think I heard there was going to be a sing-song for the young people. Well, I was at a sing-song one time. I was sitting beside the old folks. That's where I was supposed to be. And the young people, they were all up around the piano. And there was one of our band, he was good on the piano, and they were having a real good time. And there was a 10-year-old girl, but she wasn't standing with the teenagers. She was like me. She knew she shouldn't be with the teenagers. Yeah, but she sure wanted to be. You can see it right there in her eyes. You know what she's doing? She had her eyes on the teenagers, and she was just looking forward to the time 6 years down the road, or maybe 4 years down the road, when she'd be standing with all the young people as well. You can see it in her eyes. You know what? Those young teenagers were being a good example for her that night. You know what they're doing? They were singing the songs of Zion. They were singing unto the Lord. They were pleased, they were happy. Possibly they were all saved. Possibly they were all baptized. Some of them were in assembly fellowship, no doubt. Maybe some of them weren't, but they were enjoying the things of God. They were enjoying this at that particular time. And here's this 10-year-old girl. But if that 10-year-old girl was watching them on Monday, what would she have seen then? What would she have seen on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and so on? Oh yes, you've got a thing. Well, in John chapter 5, in John chapter 1, we have the Lord Jesus Christ as he walked. In John chapter 5, we have the Lord Jesus Christ working. Look at verse 17. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Well, we could read much. Look at verse 20, for instance. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things, let himself do it, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. The Lord Jesus Christ is working. You know, even as a lad of 12, he could say, Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Well, whose business are you about? Whose business am I about? Here the Lord Jesus Christ, as a lad of 12, he says, Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Not only did he work to the delight of his Father, but he worked. And what was that work? That work was making God known to those that he came in contact with by the wonderful miracles that he was able to perform and by the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. He sought to tell all that he came in contact with that God is love and God is life. His great work was to make God known. Oh yes, and in making God known, what was he doing? He was blessing the people that he came in contact with. Whose work are you engaged in? He was engaged in his Father's work. Why, he could say, one day as he sat in the well, he says, I have meat that you know not of. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Knowing Calvary's cross, the blessed Son of God, he was able to say, it is finished. You know what was finished? The work on behalf of sinners was finished to the eternal satisfaction of God. When he offered himself as a Lamb of God that beareth away the sin of the world, you know what he did? He satisfied the claims of God against sin forever. And now a full and free salvation has been offered to men and women, boys and girls. He finished that one. Oh, but Mr. Ronald was telling us this afternoon. You see, he was thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ as well. But he was thinking as the Lord Jesus Christ of his unfinished work on behalf of saints at the right hand of God, our great high priest, our advocate with the Father, the man Christ Jesus. Oh yes, his work is finished as far as saints and sinners is concerned. But his work for sinners, saints, isn't finished yet. And it won't be finished until he comes back to take us to be forever with himself. Oh yes, he's working. He was busy. And he finished the work, that particular part of it. What about you? Are you busy in the work? Whose work are you busy in? Are you busy in the work of the assembly? Do you put your hand to the shoulder, do you put your shoulder to the wheel when the assembly has a special effort? Or don't you? Or do you leave it to the few? You leave it to the same ones all the time? Or do you put your effort in? Whose work are you engaged in? Whose work are you engaged in? The Lord Jesus Christ, he was a worker. Oh, you know, I just bought a book. Yeah, I just bought a book. I spent some money. I just bought a book. And it's about the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of the servant. The one who came. God said, behold my servant. Oh yes, but the Lord Jesus Christ was more than just Jehovah's servant. You know what it was? He was a servant to mankind as well. Oh yes, he's Jehovah's servant. He said, behold my servant. Oh, and the Lord Jesus Christ, he went about his servant work in making God known to men. How about you? Do you make the Lord Jesus Christ known to those that you come in contact with? Let's turn over to chapter 11. Chapter 11. He walked in chapter 1. He walked in chapter 5. In chapter 11, all the shortest verse in the Bible. Why, the Sunday school scholars, they would have their hands up if you asked them that question. They'd be able to tell you this one. Jesus wept. Look what it says in verse 35. Jesus wept. Here we have the blessed Son of God. Look what it says in John chapter 1 concerning him. Look what it says. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He was the creator of the world. And what about him? Here we have the creator of the world. As he stands before this company of people and before this grave, when we find him, the Savior of the world, the Creator of the world, and we find him weeping. Oh, you know, I'm glad we've got a high priest. The Word of God says, such a high priest. Such a high priest who's touched with the feelings of our infirmity. And here is the Lord Jesus Christ came, and as he stood around and he looked, as he looked at these people, and he saw them, and as he saw Mary weeping, oh, maybe there's a few things we should have said here. We maybe should have read a few more verses. Let's see what it says. Look at verse 32. Yes, you should have maybe read verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. You know something? Every time you read about Mary and you read about the Lord Jesus Christ, you know where you find Mary? You find Mary at his feet. Every time you read about Mary and the Lord Jesus Christ together, you always find Mary at his feet. And there she is. And you know what that points to me as? That points to me as a sign of worship. She's making much of a Savior. And here, she's at his feet again. What about it? Verse 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. You see, what had happened was, the brother of Mary and Martha, he had died. And here they were at the gravesite. He had been dead for 4 days. And what is it? Why, Mary was crying. No doubt Martha was crying as well. And there was others. And the blessed Savior, his heart went out to Mary. And his heart went out to Martha. Ah, but something else as well. We believe here that sin, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was weeping because of what sin was doing to men and women and young folk as well. And tears were brought to the eyes of the Savior. Oh, well might we sing as we did. Hallelujah. What a Savior. He is a blessed Son of God, weeping at the grave of life. Oh yes, he's sympathetic. How about you and I? You know something? Sometimes we need sympathy. Oh yes. Sometimes you need sympathy as well. One of the things that has impressed me on the prairies, I've always enjoyed it, and that is there's always been a fair number of older brethren who have sympathetic understanding to the conditions that we operate under. They seem to understand, and they're sympathetic. They're not finding fault all the time. They're not trying to tell you what to do. They're trying to encourage you. They've got sympathetic understanding. Oh, my Savior had that. And as he stood around there and he looked at what sin had done, and he looked at the people, and as he looked at the broken heart of Mary, and no doubt the broken heart of Martha as well, why, his heart went out to them. What is it? He joined them in their bereavement, as it were. Oh, yes, he knew what he was going to do all right. He was going to raise them from the dead. But here is his friend. He's sympathetic. He's understanding. Listen, he knows all about you. He knows all about you. And he knows all about me. And he knows how that we've been tripped up. He knows how I've been tripped up. He knows how you've been tripped up. He knows how we've all made the mistake. And yet he's sympathetic. You know why? Because he was tempted and tried in all points like as we are. But he was without sin. He could not sin. He did not sin. But he was tempted and tried in all points. And by the way, the trials and the temptations were greater for him because he knew the awfulness of sin. He knew the awfulness of sin. But there was no finger to be pointed at him. He was tempted and tried, and so he understands you and I. He knows how we got tripped up. He realizes, he understands how we got tripped up. He realizes, he understands all about it. And he's just willing to make it right. If you'll only come and confess your sin to him, he'll make it all right. Whatever it happens to be, confess whatever it happens it needs. He's sympathetic, he's understanding. You know what he wants? He just wants to bless you. Why, we were reminded this afternoon, were we not, that the possibility that these things have been allowed to pass across our pathway. What for? To bring us closer to himself. That's what he wants. There's no doubt about that. He wants us to be drawn closer to himself. And so he allows things to come into your life, into my life, into the assembly life. What for? That we all might be drawn closer to himself. He's a sympathetic, understanding high priest and advocate with the Father, the man Christ here. No, the high priest is a man who comes along and helps so that we don't sin. But if we do sin, then we have the advocate to undertake for us. And we've got that in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's turn to chapter 13. John chapter 13. So we have the blessed Son of God, and what is he doing? Oh yes, he's walking. As an example, walk even as he walked. For the glory of God and for the blessing of those that we come in contact with. Oh, and he was busy about his Father's business. He was a worker. And he finished the work which he was given to do. How about you and I? Well, not only that, but he's a sympathetic, understanding high priest at the right hand of God. Oh yes, I would like to say he's a sympathetic, understanding shepherd. Because we were reminded as well, were we not? The Lord is my shepherd. Oh, and he understands all about the sheep. And all about the difficulties and all the rest of it. Well, in chapter 13, we have him washing. Look what it says. In verse 13. Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Well, here we have, and the Lord Jesus Christ says now, he says, I've given you an example. And that example is that we have the responsibility to care for one another and to try and release us from the dirt and the contamination that we've picked up in our defilement as we've come in contact with the world. What for? That we might be found clean vessels fit for the Master's use. You know, I've got to say something else here. Here the Word of God is saying, I'm responsible to wash your feet. You're responsible to wash my feet. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I believe, the responsibility is there as individual. The Word of God says, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat. And so that would suggest to me there that I have to make sure that I'm clean myself. And so I'm making sure I'm clean, and you're helping me, and you're trying to do what you can to make sure I'm clean. What for? That I might be a fit vessel, fit for the Master's use. Now, on the other hand, you have to do the same thing with you. You have to make sure that you're clean. And if I can be any help of assistance in washing your feet and taking any defilement at all, and cleaning you up and helping you in any way, what for? That you might be the channel of blessing that God wants you to be towards His own people and those that He came in contact with. Yeah. That's the way I look at this now. I join those two together. You know the Word of God says this. Let a man examine himself and so let him eat. You know, I've wondered oftentimes why we don't make more of a practice of it. And I like to join two other scriptures with it. One of them is this. If your brother has anything against you, why, you've got to go and make it right with him. You've got to make it go and make it right with him. If your brother has anything against you. On the other hand, if you've got something against him, you should be making it right as well. And we read in Matthew chapter 5 and we read in Matthew chapter 19. And to me, Matthew chapter 18, and what happens? The way it looks to me is, you get the two of them coming this way. If I've got something against you, well, I'm coming to make it right. And if you know I've got something against you, you should be coming to make it right as well. You know what you should have? You should have two of them coming to make it right. In other words, two of them coming to help wash one another's feet. Everybody gets defiled. It doesn't matter who it is. We all make mistakes. But there it is. The Word of God says, let a man examine himself and make sure he's clean and in the right condition with his brother. And if he's not, he says, leave his gift at the altar and come and make it right and then come and offer his gift. Come and make it right and then come and offer your gift. Well, here the Lord Jesus Christ, why? He says, I'm giving you an example. I, your Lord and Master. Why, that's what you call me. And that's exactly what I am. And you say right, because so I am. He says, now he says, if I, your Lord and Master, if I could get down so low to wash your feet, surely you could follow his example. Surely I could follow his example. Oftentimes, though, you know what happens? Oftentimes you get one person coming trying to make it right, and the other, they're standing on their high horse. They're not really interested in making it right. They're just standing there. Oh, they're never coming this way. That's part of our problem. The problem is we don't have both sides trying to make things right. And so what do we have? We have one side maybe trying to make it right, but we don't have the other side trying to make it right. Well, here it is. He says, happy are you if you do it. Here's an example. Wash one another's feet. Oh, of course, you know, sometimes some people don't want their feet washed. Think of us like that. Peter says, you're not going to wash my feet. No way are you going to wash my feet. And sometimes maybe when you go to try and help somebody, why, they don't want to be helped by you. They don't mind if it's so-and-so, but they don't want to be helped by you. And yet you're the one who has the exercise to go and try and help them. Oh yeah, sometimes that happens as well. Oh, but it's nice when you go to try and help somebody. And no, they're just looking to be helped. And they just recognize, well, what happens? Why, you're coming to make it right, and I'm coming to make it right, and both of us are seeking to acknowledge the Lordship of our Lord Jesus Christ, what's happened? You know what's going to happen? It's going to be made right. It's going to be made right. It's going to be made. Here it is. What do we have? Our blessed Savior and His rock. An example. How do you do it? Oh yes, how are you working? How am I working? I say, what? Are you busy in the work of the Master? Are you busy in the work of the Lord? Or are you just busy doing nothing? Or are you just busy with your own things? Because we're all busy at something. We're either busy with our own things. We're either busy with the things of God. We're either busy doing nothing. Three things, that's all. Either one of the three. What are you busy at? The Lord Jesus Christ, He was the obedient servant. He was always busy about His Father's business. Oh yes, but He was sympathetic and understanding as well. Oh yes, He could stand and weep before them all. Just think of the blessed Son of God, the Creator of all the world, and He's standing there. Just think what that must have meant for the angels to see Him, the Son of God, the Creator, standing at that grave. Sympathetic with Mary and Martha at their loss, yet knowing that in a few short minutes Lazarus was going to come forth and going to be restored to his sisters again. Ah, yeah. Well, we have him weeping, but we have him washing as well. The Son of God, no wonder Peter says, you're not going to wash my feet. You know why Peter did that? Because Peter had a high respect for his Savior. Peter had a high respect for his Lord, and the last thing he wanted his Lord was down there. I'm quite sure Peter thought it should be the other way around, and it should have been the other way around. although the Saviour didn't really speak Russian.
Ah, but the Lord Jesus Christ says to Peter, Peter said, if I don't wash your feet, you'll be neither pat nor lot.
Oh, said Peter, washing all. You know, the last words Peter heard pretty well from the blessed Saviour was, follow thou me. Walk even as he was, for the glory of God and for the blessing of those that are given to come.